Let's go to Numbers chapter 13 today. From heaven's perspective. How many believe today that we need to have a heavenly perspective on life? There was one amen over there. All right. Numbers chapter 13. I just felt directed of the Lord to go back here and take a look at this again. And how many know you got to keep looking into the mirror of the Lord? Amen? We need to look into the mirror of His Word. And you need to remind yourself. It doesn't matter how many times you might have read something. How many know that you can always get fresh manna, fresh revelation? You got to stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. And God will feed your spirit. God will give you revelation, light. He will expose and drive out darkness. Because when you walk in darkness, you can't see. You can't see and you can't walk right. So the Word gives us light so that we know how to walk, how to live, how to walk in freedom, how to walk in the freedom of our new identity, how to realize and recognize who we really are now since Christ Jesus has come into our lives and made us into a new, brand new creation. He didn't give us a patch job. He gave us a new nature. So if you're just trying to patch your old life up, it ain't going to work. You got to get born again. You got to get saved. Amen. You got to pass from death unto life. You need to surrender your life. Verse 1, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, send men to spy out the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. There's a promise. God said, I'm going to give this land to the children of Israel. From each tribe of their fathers, you shall send a man, every one a leader among them. Move over to verse 17. Then Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan and said to them, go up this way into the south and go up to the mountains and see what the land is like, whether the people who dwell in it are strong or weak, few or many, whether the land they dwell in is good or bad, whether the cities they inhabit are like camps or strongholds, whether the land is rich or poor, whether there are forests there or not, be of good courage and bring some of the fruit of the land. Now the time was the season of the first ripe grapes. How many realize today that this was all a test? They were to send these men in because there was going to be a separation and a weaning. There was going to be a separation between those who believe the promise of God and those who would live by sight. How many know the just believe God? They're justified because they believe God. Amen. Not because they felt or saw something. Right. And so here is where the distinction came in. Verse 25. And they returned from spying out the land after 40 days. Now they departed and came back to Moses and Aaron and all the congregation of the children of Israel in the wilderness of Paran. At Kadesh, they brought back word to them and to all the congregation and showed them the fruit of the land. Then they told him and said, we went to the land where you sent us, verse 27. It truly flows with milk and honey, and this is its fruit. Nevertheless, the people, here's where we get into problems. Nevertheless, but the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. These were giants. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. But Caleb, I love this. And that's why many people name their child Caleb. Because Caleb had a different spirit. Caleb had a different perspective. Caleb was seeing things through God's perspective. Caleb was a man who believed, if God said, I've given you the land, it's already done. All they had to do is by faith walk it out. All they had to do is by faith receive what God had already promised. They didn't have to work for it. They had to receive the promise of God. And then they had to simply cooperate with God through the process of receiving what He'd already promised. And so Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men, verse 31, who had gone up with him said, "We are not able." Uh-oh. What's that? That's unbelief. It doesn't matter what you're facing in life, you are able to do all things through Christ. You're able to overcome whatever it is. Because Christ is with you and Christ is in you, if you're His child. It doesn't matter what it looks like. We got to quit living by what it looks like. We got to quit even living by our feelings. It felt like that. It felt bad. Sometimes you got to feel bad before you can feel good. Come on. Whew. But the men who had gone up with him said, "We are not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." Fear and doubt. I don't know how many times I've heard folks say, "Well, I can't seem to get victory over this." That very confession itself helps lend to that fulfillment. Even for you to say, "I can't," when God says you can, is a negative statement. Would you agree? Yes. It's you're speaking doubt and unbelief over your situation. What we need to do is say, "But God can." In fact, He is exceedingly abundant. Amen? God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all I could ask or think. I believe that all things are possible to them that believe. That's not what I said. That's what Jesus said. And I believe what Jesus said. You see, when we become adults, we become analytical, you know. Everything has to fit into a formula now. When you were children, you just received it. Somebody told you something? Okay. Even though children are gullible, when it comes to the Word of God, how many know we need to be spiritual children. We need to just simply take what God says and believe it. It's people that are simple in their faith that are able to see the move of God in their life. But when we become adults, then everything has to fit into our formulas and our, you know, if it can't be proven in a test tube, then I'm not going to believe it. A child, you just simply say, "Jesus loves you." "Really? Great. Thank you." And they go around and say, "Jesus loves me." Why? "Because mom told me, because dad told me, because teacher told me." Why? "Because the Bible tells me so." Little ones to Him belong. They are weak, but He is strong. You see, we got to become children again. The problem is we grow up as Christians in the sense that we begin to complicate the simplicity of Christ. Isn't it true? Yes. We can get all this doctrine, all this teachings, and listen to all these seminars and all these preachers and all the blah, 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 blah. And before long, you're just so confused. This one said, "Yes, you can." This one said, "No, you can't." You just get back to the Word and say, "Well, what did God say?" Don't just listen to what I say. Listen to what God says. If God said it, if He said you can, you can. If He said you can do all things through Christ, you can. So Caleb rose up because he was like, "Hey, listen, guys, we can do this." Why? Because God promised it to us. God promises victory in your life today, folks. He promises victory to everyone who will believe what He said. Who will receive the provision of God in their life by faith. Who understand that it is the anointing that breaks every yoke of bondage off your life. Yes. That God is pouring out His Spirit on all flesh. That God is not willing that anyone should perish. And He's certainly not willing that His people should walk in bondage. But they would see and remember what the Lord has done to the Egyptians. And how He bore you on eagle's wings. Think back to the day when you met Jesus. Whoa! What a day, glorious day.
Amen.
Every cloud was silver lined. I believed God and things happened like that. Because I hadn't been convoluted and clouded by all the doctrine.
That's right.
Doctrine is good, folks, but what you need to do is you need to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
And He will teach you. And what I teach you, if the Holy Spirit is speaking, you will identify with it in your heart.
Amen.
He will say, this is a good word. This is from me. Take it. Listen to it. Apply it in your life. So we need to have faith in God. That's what pleases Him, by the way, right?
Amen.
Without it, it's impossible to please Him. Hebrews 11:6 tells us. So, Caleb understood God would bring them in to their inheritance. And Matthew 19:26 tells us, but with God, right? All things are possible. But verse 32 says, they gave the children of Israel a bad report. Has anybody ever received a bad report? Has anybody ever been a carrier of a bad report? Uh-huh. How many know we got to be careful about carrying bad reports? Because one bad report becomes another bad report becomes another bad report. And before long, all you're hearing is bad reports. Remember, the majority believed the bad report. One man at this time, right? Caleb stood up and said, listen, guys, don't receive that. Uh-oh. Don't receive the evil report. Receive the promise of God. If God has given you a promise in your life, receive that.
Amen.
If somebody comes to your life and speaks something against that promise, throw it out.
Yes.
Say, but God said.
Yes.
If the devil whispers in your ears and say, you can't, you tell him, I can do all things.
Yes.
If he says you're a nobody, says, I'm a somebody, I'm more than a conqueror through him who loved me.
Amen.
You're a weakling. You'll never make it. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world.
That's right.
We believe the report from the Lord, you see. We believe the promises of God. We confess the promises of God. And if what you're hearing is not lining up with what God says about you, throw it out. You don't have to receive it. You see, they were defeated in their hearts already because of an evil report. How quickly things like that can spread. God told Joshua, He says, no man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. That should be enough, folks, when Jesus said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I don't feel you right now, Jesus. It doesn't matter what you felt like. You don't walk by felt. That good English. You don't walk by your feelings, you walk by faith. Good feelings will follow faith, by the way. See, what the enemy wants to do is he wants to preoccupy us with inferior things. Because when we're preoccupied with inferior things, we'll never accomplish the superior things of God. If he can preoccupy you with worldly things, worldly thinking, then you're not going to experience the heavenly things. He wants to rob from you. If he can preoccupy us with temporary things, we will never be about eternal things. Remember, it's not we who are greater than he who's in the world. But he who is in me. And so I draw from his grace. I draw from the resources of the Lord who's with me. And simply said, the Lord already told us that He has given us power. You shall receive power. Acts 1:8. After that, the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. You will receive authority. Amen? To represent Him, to go in His name. And therefore, because the Lord has already called you and commissioned you and given you that assignment, you can put faith that the Word of God is good. The Word of God is true. The Word of God is sure. It's steadfast.
Amen.
And when God says you can do it, you can do it. You can be a witness. Ah. Well, I'm afraid of talking to people. Get that out of your mind. Put faith in your God who's with you, who's greater in you, who will give you the power to do the impossible. Because what God calls His people to do is impossible. Listen, it's impossible apart from Him. You all are sharp. But all things are possible with God. So when you get your assignment, you're saying, man, this is big. This is like scary sometimes, you know. That's when you have to shift away and say, wait a minute. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. 2 Timothy 1:7, but a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So where did that come from? That fear has torment. Who am I going to obey? Am I going to obey fear or am I going to put my faith in Jesus Christ, right? If God says you can do it, you can do it. If God says to do it, I think we should do it, don't you? How many think that there should be no question that we should do it? It's not a great suggestion. It's a great commission. Thank you, Jesus. So here, if you'd move over to Joshua chapter 1. Hallelujah. Just go a couple books to your right. I hear pages fumbling for about a half hour. Yeah. You can tell people that read their Bible, right? You only hear the fumbling of paper for a short time. And it doesn't matter. We're all at different places. If you just came to the Lord, it's totally understood. But it's unfortunate that some people have been Christians 20, 30 years and don't know what their Bible says. And usually, because of that, they live in bondage too. They've been bound all their Christian life. They haven't enjoyed the abundant life Jesus promised them. Why? Because they don't have the knowledge of God. They don't know what's freely given to them. And in some cases, they sit under teaching that's lifeless, it's dead, it's legalistic. There's no substance. And so whatever you sit under, you're going to receive of, right? So you need to make sure that you are listening to anointed teachers of God, amen, that esteem the Word of God. Amen. And that is their rule. That is their standard. Verse 5. No man shall be able, Joshua, to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. What did he tell him to do in verse 6? Now this was what he had to do. How many realize that as believers, folks, this is not milquetoast stuff, right? We can't be wimpy. He told him to be strong. He says, this is your part. You be strong and of good courage. Why? Because God gave him a promise. When God gives you a promise, folks, you can have confidence in that promise. You can have confidence towards God and that His Word is good and whatever He says is true. It's where we get into unbelief when we start to question, well, I know God said, however, I don't feel. He said, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance in the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, verse 7, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. Hallelujah. And so, God is in essence saying, trust me, Joshua. I'm going to be with you. I wouldn't ask you to do anything that I was not going to support you in. I wouldn't tell you to be a witness for me without being there for you. I wouldn't ask you to pray for the sick and not be in position to heal the sick. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not going to back up. If God says do it, He said do it. And if you do what He says, you will see that God indeed is with you. Now, if we attempt to do the work of God, and in our hearts we're saying, well, I don't know. I don't know if this is going to work or not. Let's give it a shot. That's not faith. That's full of unbelief and fear. Or what will people think about me if nothing happens? That's pride. So when we step out for Jesus, we go in His authority, based upon His commission, in faith, knowing God is with us, God is for us, God is working through us, right? And God is going to give us the victory if we will not shrink back. Be bold, be strong, for the Lord your God is with you. I will not be afraid, for greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm going to believe the report that God gave. I'm going to believe the promise of God, that God has promised you, yes, you today, God has promised you victory in your life. In every area. Are you dealing with a habit today? Are you dealing with an addiction today? God has promised you freedom. Yes. It's a promise. It's not a maybe, it's a yes. And you receive what's already yours by faith. It's already yours. God is saying today, do you remember what I did to the Egyptians? Do you remember how I broke that off your life by the cross? Have you seen what I've done? Don't forget what I've done for you. Don't forget who you are in me. Don't forget that you are now my son and my daughter. Don't forget that I'm going to be with you no matter what. Be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And are you in Christ today? If you're in Christ, you're an overcomer. Yes. You are an overcomer.
Yes.
You are an overcomer. That's the identity you live out of. Not out of fear and doubt and despair and hopelessness. You cast those things off. You drive those things out and say, no, I refuse to walk in doubt and unbelief. I'm going to believe the report that God has given me about His Son. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Thank you, Jesus. If you're having health problems, problems with kids, problem with spouse, financial troubles, employment issues, these things, folks, often are bigger than we are. Would you agree?
Yes.
We don't know what to do. We've done everything we know to do. We've done all the praying. How many know that God is able? God is able. What we need to do is we need to shift away from those things and not worry about those things. Because what we need to do is we need to set our sights higher than our situation. Higher than our problems. We need to see things through heaven's perspective. We need to shift away from earthly perspective where all you can do is see and touch and feel these things and if things look bad. Hello, if you live in that place and you operate out of that place as a believer, you're going to continue to be in defeat. But if you start to realize and receive what God has said about you, that He has raised you up together with Christ and seated you in heavenly places, that I am with Him and He is with me, He is in me, and greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. And I can, from that perspective, from God's perspective, there, God is not stressed out, folks. The Lord said, I will keep you in my peace, my shalom, perfect peace. If you keep your mind stayed on me, Keep your mind on me. Think on me. Dwell on me. Magnify the Lord in your mind. Because when the problem comes, it's like, I'm the problem. It looks like a monster, you know? You're like, oh no, another problem. What we don't see is the Lord mighty in battle with sword in hand saying, I'm here to deliver you. We say, hey, our momentary light affliction is working for us right in the exceeding weight of glory. Hallelujah. God is greater. God is bigger than any problem, any situation. God is always bigger. And when you quit magnifying the problem by dwelling on the problem, I don't say you ignore it, but you don't dwell and magnify it. You just say, okay, I got a problem. The first thing we do is say, God, what do you want to teach me? What can I learn from this? Lord, how do I work through this thing? How do I handle this? Instead of looking at the problem, say, oh, what am I going to do? You turn to Jesus and say, okay, I'm not going to take up that spirit of unbelief. I'm going to turn to Jesus. I'm going to say, okay, Lord, I turn my back on my problem and I'm calling on you. I'm asking you for intervention here, for help. And what we're doing is we're learning how to lean on the Lord. We're learning how the Lord over and over is going to demonstrate his power and his glory in your life through bringing you through these situations and proving that what he said is true. God wants to reveal his word to you. He wants you not just to know it so you can memorize it and win a debate, but he wants you to know the word so you'll find out that what God says is actually true. And if God says it, it's actually true. God's purpose is bigger than us, right? Remember in Matthew 6 and verse 9 through 13, the Lord's Prayer? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name, right? It begins with praise. Praise. How many would agree today that a good place to start when you're having a problem is start praising God? You can shift the atmosphere, shift your perspective very quickly, and you can start to get into heaven's place. You shift off the world station and get on the heaven station when you start to praise God, when you start to magnify God. Amen? You begin to look at the greatness of God. You say, God is so much bigger than this.
Amen.
Isn't it true that sometimes it's just the little tiny things, the little foxes, you know? But the little things that sometimes can become such a big thing if we allow it. It can be a little problem. And the devil just wants to ruin your day with a little problem. He just hates it when people are joyful. He hates it when you're enjoying life. But you don't have to allow him to steal your joy. You get into heaven's perspective by praising God, magnifying God, declaring his goodness, coming before him with singing and thanksgiving, a heart that's thankful, and say, God, I thank you that you're with me. God, I thank you that you're going to help me through this. And I thank you, God, that on the other side of this test, I'm going to be better. Oh, this test is going to destroy me. No, it's going to make you better if you handle it right. So Caleb had a different spirit about him. He believed the promises of God. He says, we're well able to overcome our enemies and to enter into the land and enjoy the life that God promised us. The second thing in the Lord's Prayer is it says, your kingdom come. You begin with praise. And then it has to do with priority. What is our priority? As a believer, our priority is the kingdom. It is. It's the kingdom that is our priority. My comfort is not my priority. Sorry. But your comfort is not your priority. The kingdom is our priority. When things get a little hot sometimes, and they will, when you're serving God, the kingdom is still your priority. Paul didn't even count himself, his life as valuable to him. He was willing to go all the way with Christ, even if it meant death. Because he saw something bigger. He saw a bigger picture. Praise. Prioritizing the kingdom. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. What is that saying? Seek first the kingdom. What is your purpose? Through praise and through priority, through putting God first, He will then reveal to you your purpose. Thy will be done. Well, in order to do the will of God, you need to know what the will of God is. So He will reveal His purpose to you. How many have found that when you know your purpose, it gives you great confidence? If you're going to run a race and you haven't got a clue where the finish line is, you're not going to have very much confidence to run that race. If you know where you're going, I see it up ahead. I see where I'm going, and I'm fixing my eyes on the prize. I'm looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. I am going to live for the will of God. I'm going to live for the kingdom of God. I'm going to live for the purpose for which God created me. And when you see the will of God and the purpose of God for your life, then you can run the race. The reason why many are not running the race, folks, is that they don't have the understanding of the will of God for them. They don't know. And let me just say this once again, folks, and I say it many times. You're never going to know unless you praise Him, unless you seek His face. If you just want to come to church and do a little goosebump thing on Sunday, you're not going to understand your purpose. God wants to be sought. He is valuable. He is holy. He is worthy to be sought out. And because He is so awesome and valuable and worthy, He deserves to be sought. God doesn't just give you everything you want, when you want it, how you want it. How many have discovered that already? How many realize that when you have sought after something and you finally find it, it rejoices your heart. It enhances the blessing. When you have sought God and you found Him, if you will, it enhances the experience way beyond if it was always just easy given. Are you with me? If everything is easy given, folks, you don't understand value. You don't appreciate it. If you've had to work for anything in your life, then you understand the value of things that you've had to work for. And we come simply with a sacrifice to God of thanksgiving, of praise. This is an acceptable sacrifice. He hasn't made it hard for us, folks. When we praise Him, how many have discovered praise is good? Praise shifts the atmosphere, brings in the glory, the presence of the Lord. It brings not only into the atmosphere around you, but into your heart. It floods your heart. You are the temple. And the glory of God will fill your temple. And now you're going to start seeing things through heaven's perspective. You're going to have right priority, and you're going to understand purpose. And when you understand priority and purpose, then you're going to begin to run the race before you. You're going to start to accomplish the will of God in Christ, and you're going to delight yourself in the Lord. And then the desires of your heart He'll even give you. I'm going to say this again. He didn't say after you've gotten the desires of your heart, you'll rejoice in the Lord or you'll delight in the Lord. That's what we think. Gimme, 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 gimme. But the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Priority. So if we have been born of His Spirit. We've been brought into covenant. We are now children of God. Greater is He that's in us than he that's in the world. We operate now from the position of a son and a daughter of the Most High God who has been given authority in His name, amen, to effect change. We are world changers. We are world shakers. Because we know who we are. Do you know who you are? I'm getting to know who I am. Are you? Amen. Rest comes by faith too. Rest in the Spirit. I'm not striving. I'm receiving. I just receive what God has already given. What God has already promised. I just receive it. When you worship the Lord, you worship from the position of I'm already seated with Him in heavenly places. When you, how many young men here have boasted on your dad when you were a kid? Huh? Right, Bruce? We're the sweet kids when we're out there duking it out in the street with them, right? Sweet, what a name for these kids are anything but sweet. God bless them. Oh yeah, I'll get my dad. He'll beat up your dad. Well, when the devil attacks you, you call on your dad who's bigger. Amen? Amen. And I know my dad's going to intervene for me. I know who I am. I'm under my Father's roof. I'm under His authority. My Father loves me. My Father cares for me. My Father's going to see me through. All I need to do is call on my Father's name. Abba, Father. Daddy, help me. Sometimes all you can do is say, help. He's there. He's there. But when you come to Him, you come to Him with faith. Come to Him with confidence on the promise of God. Amen? Amen. When you come in faith, you will receive. Don't come with, here it goes again. Here it goes with 1,001 prayer. Come with faith. After we put God first and prioritize, then comes your daily bread, forgiveness, guidance, deliverance from evil. All the other things that we need. God does not want you and I to be consumed by our problems, our worries, and our fears. Because when that is the case, you are not enjoying life. I'm totally convinced God wants you to have abundant life. Amen. God wants you to enjoy life. Did He not give us life? Jesus said, I came that you might have. Sometimes I really believe people don't think God wants them happy. I think they think it's being spiritual to always be miserable. Aren't you glad that Jesus paid the price for us? Amen? Amen. He bore our sin and He bore our shame. He came to give us a life. Hallelujah. A life worth living. A life that's lived with Him and for Him and in Him. Whew. When we shift our perspective, folks, everything else comes into clear view. We begin to see things from the right perspective. When we begin lifting Him up, when we begin praising Him, when we begin thanking Him, when we begin spending time in His presence, then heaven's perspective will become clear to you. And you'll begin to operate from that higher, superior reality. Instead of being consumed by the inferior reality of this world, heaven's reality will sustain you. You will have a different view. Hallelujah. Instead of seeing the cup as half empty, you can see it as being completely full. Well, thank you, Jesus. We love you. Hallelujah. When our perspective is heavenward, our problems shrink. Amen. You got to shrink your problems. Shrink your problems by magnifying the answer, Jesus Christ. And verse 33 of Numbers 13, I want you to hear this. They said, we were like grasshoppers in our own sight. What? And so we were in their sight. If you think of yourself as just an insignificant bug, your enemies will pick up on that. Your spiritual enemies, hello?
Yes.
Even in the natural. You're not an insignificant grasshopper, all right? You're a child of God. Live from that reality. Dwell on, meditate, decree that thing over your life. And don't accept anything less than that, because anything less than that is a lie. Hallelujah.